You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It is my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you all so much for listening. This week it is episode 83, milestone episode. It's 83, and we are talking Super Punch-Out for the Super Nintendo, which is a fucking super game. I know I say it every week. And some of you make fun of me for it, and I get it, it's fine. I say every week this is like one of my favorite games, but this really is like a contender for my top 10 list of favorite games of all time. Super Punch-Out, I owned it as a kid. It was absolutely, it's one of my comfort food games. Right there, like literally like a 1B to Super Mario World's 1A, as far as my absolute comfort food games go. I fucking love it. And it's one of the few games that I'm actually decent at, too. And I'll tell you guys all about that in a few minutes. My buddy Chris is here. He is from episode 1 fame. He is going to help me tell you guys about it. It took us about 70 episodes longer than it should have to get to Super Punch-Out, but it's here, and we're going to talk about boxing lucha libre wrestlers, old men, and this John Wayne Gacy-inspired creep fucking clown in just a few minutes. And before I get to that, you guys know I'm going to ramble a little bit, and if you really don't want to listen to that, look in the description. There'll be a timestamp to tell you what to skip to just hear us talk about boxing. I suggest you hang around, though, because I got some fun stuff to talk about, and before I get to any of that, I'm going to thank some people that made this possible. You beloved, sexy, gorgeous, beautiful Patreons that support our show. I want to give some shout outs to all of our Patreons. Normally, this is where I would also say congratulations to so-and-so for winning our prize draw. I haven't had a chance to do it yet. As this episode goes live on Wednesday the 12th, I will be recording the prize draw on Wednesday the 12th. It'll probably go live later in the day. So congratulations to one of you. I hope that you enjoy your prize. And a massive shout out to everyone supporting our show, which includes, in no particular order except alphabetically, Andre, Andy Baker, Aiden Irvin, Ben Drinkin, Bradley McHugh, Chris Taco Shirt, I don't know how to say your last name, Chris, but you know who you are, Christopher Sumner, Daniel Brooks, Dave, Dave McGinnis. We have two Daves now. So one is Dave, one is Dave McGinnis. James Clark, Jason Adams, Jeffrey Mathis, Joe Buck, Joe Gillespie, John Taylor, Josh from Press Start to Join. Check out their podcast. Casey from Keegan, Mark McHugh, Michael Mathis, Nathan Mitchell, Robert Lippa, Rome 21. I hope I said that right. Ben and Shaley, Sharonic, Thomas Christian, Tinky Winky Haha 86. I fucking know who you are. Stop changing your fucking name. Todd and Tyler. You guys, thank you all so much for supporting the show. If you're thinking, man, that list sounded a little bit longer, that's because the list is getting a little bit longer because more and more people are getting on board with supporting the podcast. And if you want to get on board, patreon.com/rememberthegame. It's only $2 a month. I'll give you a shout out just like I did for all of them. You're going to get extra episodes of the podcast, including Shovel Knight that just went live 2 days ago. And you're going to get entered into a prize draw every month to win 25% of our Patreon income, which as more people sign up is going to get into a bigger and bigger and bigger prize. So yeah, patreon.com/rememberthegame, $2 a month. There's your plug. There's your shout outs. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. Let's get into a little bit more rambling before I get into it. I got some stuff I want to talk about. Somebody asked me the other day why I don't cover Atari games on the podcast. We're 83 episodes in, and there's never been anything older than the NES. I've never talked Atari or any of that stuff. The long and short of it is I didn't play them. I was born in 83. So I got my hands. I legitimately do not remember a time in my life where I didn't have my NES. Like, I don't know what year we actually got it, but I don't ever remember not having it. And I've had them ever since, but I didn't play anything before that. So, I mean, I guess I could pick up like one of the classic consoles, like the Atari or the ColecoVision or something, and play it. But like, is there a market for those games on here? Like, is that something you guys want to hear about? Do you want Atari games? Cause I'll be honest with you, another reason they're not on here is cause there's just, like, there's not a lot of meat on the fucking bone of Pitfall or E.T. Like, I've got no childhood memories of playing it. I've got no cool stories to tell. The games aren't usually that good. They're not that long. As it is, sometimes when we get into, like, some old NES games or Game Boy or Sega, like, even Super Nintendo, like, there's just some of those retro games, there's not a lot to talk about, and it would be infinitely worse fucking when we went to Atari. So, I guess if you guys are interested in that, please let me know. Because if there's enough interest, then yeah, I'll go out and find a way to play some of those games and talk about them. There's not going to be long episodes or probably not very good episodes, that's all. And as it is, you know, I worry about the quality of the episodes when it's not a game when it's a game I didn't grow up playing, you know, and nobody's complained yet, which blows me away. Like, I made a note here on my list of notes to point this out. Like, the internet is a goddamn toxic hole of shit, right? We all know that. It's hate, and people hate on each other and everything. Outside of one person once reaching out saying they weren't even rude about it at all. Like, I had no beef with it. One person reached out and said, I'm not going to listen to the podcast anymore because you're too mean to PlayStation, which I don't really think I am, but whatever. That's fine. That's his prerogative. He was nice about it. Other than that, like, you guys are so nice. I don't get hate. I don't get people reaching out being like, your show sucks. We don't have a single non-5-star review on any of the review things and stuff like that. So, thank you all for not being assholes. And the point I was going to make is that I don't get complaints about the episodes where I didn't grow up playing the game, because I do feel like they're not lacking. What I try to do when it's a game that I've recently played for the first time to talk about on the show is I try to get a guest who grew up with it, and then they're going to kind of pick up the slack, you know, and we've done that quite a few times, and we will continue to do so as we run out of the games that I played as a kid. And there's still a lot of games that I played as a kid. Like, we're not going to run out anytime soon. But I do worry about that, because nostalgia is a fucking huge thing, you know? And when I play these games that I've never played before that you guys want me to talk about on the show, a lot of the time I blow through them on easy mode, or I use save states, you know, or something like that to get through them faster. And that's for a couple of reasons. First off is I just don't have enough fucking time to dig through all these games and put the time into them that, like, it would take to play them on hard or, you know, to get the full experience. I need to know enough about it to do a little bit of homework and then come on the show and share my thoughts with someone that grew up loving it. That's what I'm trying to do. Every episode, I want somebody that grew up playing the game to carry that nostalgic aspect of it for the nostalgic people listening. And the thing is like, dude, some of those games, retro games, fucking try your patience, man. They just do, right? Like, there's a huge difference in how you enjoy a game between being a kid and being patient because this was the only game you have until next Christmas, so you'd better learn to be good at it, and playing it now for the first time. Like, I'm soft, and I admit that. I'm a retro gamer. I love my old school games. I talk about how I'm proud of the fact that I can beat Mega Man, and I can beat Contra, and I can beat these old fucking challenging games and stuff like that. But I'm also, I've gone soft as I'm 36, coming up on 37. Like, I like my checkpoints every 12 seconds. I like my save states. I like continuing right where I died. I don't want to fucking get game over and have to start the game all over again anymore, you know? And like I said, nostalgia, that's a strong drug, man, right? Like, we all have games that we just loved when we were kids that we all know now just aren't that good. Right? But it was the only game you owned, so you played the shit out of it, and you loved it as a kid, and now you've got those rose-colored glasses. I have them. Bart vs. the Space Mutants, which I have a Let's Play of. You can see over at youtube.com/rememberthegame, which I finished. And Ghostbusters on the NES, I finished for the first time not long ago. I love both those games, but I know they both suck. I just grew up playing them. If I played those for the first time now, it would be very hard for me to come on this podcast and not just fucking roast them. Right, but I've got nostalgia for them. Right, and there's other games that I'm like, I don't usually drop too many hints on games we have upcoming, but I'm telling you right now, there's an episode upcoming about Echo the Dolphin, and I don't have nostalgic memories of that game. And I've tried playing it I played it a little bit as a kid, but I first really tried playing it over the last month or so on my Sega Genesis Classic, and I'm gonna rip that game a new ass. Because I don't have nostalgia for it, so I don't have those. Without rose-colored glasses, a lot of those games have not aged that well, right? So just the point I'm trying to make is I get worried about the quality of the episodes when I don't have the rose-colored glasses. And then nobody seems to be bitching about it yet. And if you do start to hate them, let me know. I always try to find someone that's got that nostalgia because I know a lot of you guys do, right? Just because I didn't play fucking, I don't know, Parasite Eve growing up doesn't mean that someone listening to this right now didn't. You, someone listening to this right now probably just went like, oh, fuck, I love Parasite Eve. Like, I could play it now and be like, this fucking sucks. But it's different if you've got that 20 years of seasoning on it, right? So, and also quickly, that said, I think games deserve more credit than they get when they're 20 plus years old. You can pick them up and have no nostalgic ties and enjoy them, right? Like, I have a few games that I've played for the podcast that I've never played before, or at least never played seriously before, that I've enjoyed as much as a brand new AAA title that comes out today. And a few of those, I mean, obviously there's the Marios and stuff and the Zeldas and that kind of shit, but I played all those growing up. A few of them that have popped into my head that I've played specifically for this podcast and absolutely fallen in love with are the early Resident Evil games, Shining Force, Shinobi 3. Like, the Sega Genesis is really fucking, really, really climbed the rankings of my all-time system list since I started this show. Banjo-Kazooie, and you guys know I'm critical of the Nintendo 64, but Banjo-Kazooie, I played it for the first time right before our episode that we did here on the show, and I fucking loved all those games. They were just as much fun as a game that came out, like, as The Last of Us or a fucking Red Dead Redemption or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, and that is a ton of credit to those games that have aged well and have stood the test of time and as fun to play today, and they're not broken control wise or anything. They're as fun to play today as they were back then. Like, to me, that's gaming. That's what gaming is. It doesn't matter if it's 1080p, 7x12, so many Jeff frames per minute, whatever. It matters if it's fun. Right? That's like, and I think a lot of retro gamers feel that way. You see a lot of kids today going on about how that game's not two fucking 70 frames per second and it's not 17x12, whatever the fuck this, I don't know what the fuck, I don't know the stats. So they don't even give it a chance. And it's like, what are you talking about? It should matter if it's fun. That's always, 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 always going to be the biggest slice of my video game grading pie. It's going to be, was it fun? 75% of my opinion of a game is, was it fun? And then if it's got cool graphics or cool sound or a gimmick or something like that, bonus. That's badass, right? But it's got to be fun. That's what matters to me at the end of the day. And I don't know what kind of rant this was supposed to be, but just massive shout out to retro games that play as well today as they did when they came out, because that's a fucking hard thing to do. And there's games we're playing right now on the Xbox One, the PS4, the Nintendo Switch that we all love, that in 20 years are going to seem archaic and not good. There just is. And there's always been those games. But there are also games that are coming out now that are going to stand the test of time, that are going to be as fucking good in 20 years as they are right now. And to me, if I was creating a game, that would be the legacy I want. I wouldn't want to be revolutionary for the time. I would want to be an all-time classic. Boom. Done. That was good. All right, that felt good. Speaking of fun, I've been having fun playing a couple of games over the last week. And I'm going to tell you guys what games those are right after this. Hey geeks, I love video games, and I also love pro wrestling. And after hyping it up for about a year and a half now, my new wrestling podcast is here, Wrestling with Wrestling. It looks at the workings of WWE, NXT, AEW, and whatever else I want from the world of the squared circle. Give it a shot. Search for Adam Blank Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube, and make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WW Wrestling Pod. P-O-D will follow you back. Check it out. So what have I been playing over the last 7 days, you're probably asking yourself, or maybe the last 2 days if you've listened to the Patreon episode that came out on Monday. Primarily Witcher 3 on my Nintendo Switch. I've been on the road so much for comedy. It's been probably the busiest stretch I've ever had the last few weeks in comedy, or at least the busiest in quite a long time. And the fact that I can take my Nintendo Switch with me anywhere and play a game as big and deep and full as Witcher 3 blows me away. Fucking blows me away. And like, getting back quickly to the frames per graphics conversation, all that kind of stuff that I was having right before the ad there, I don't understand people that complain about the frames per second or pop-in or anything on this Nintendo Switch version. Even docked. Like, some people, like, they rewatch the reviews and they're like, well, if it's docked, it's not very good. Don't play it. I've been playing it docked and I've had a great time. And playing it portable, I've had a great time. It's really good. I mean, I'm sure, like, I've got, like, I could download it on my Xbox One right now on Game Pass and play it. And I guarantee you it would look infinitely better than the Nintendo Switch version. But at the end of the day, I'm not playing it because it looks good. I'm playing it because it's fun. And it is so fun. It's just, it's so big, though. Witcher 3 is so fucking, it's almost frustratingly big. Like, I'm starting to just blow by some side quests because I want to get it done and see how the main story plays and put this thing to bed and move on to another game. But the side quests are still good. Like, they're almost better than the main story. And it's just, games are too, like, are games too big today? Fuck, maybe, right? There's something to be said about a nice little tight 10, 12, 15-hour game where you can 100% it in 15 hours and be done, and it was really fun. There's something to be said about that. But having said that, Witcher 3's fantastic. It absolutely deserves its place on these greatest games of all time list, and everyone involved with getting that thing to run on the Nintendo Switch deserves a tip of the cap because it is sick, and I'm loving it. And I've also been playing Resident Evil 3 on my PlayStation Classic. What I've been trying to do lately is rock between a modern game and a retro game at the same time. And the retro game primarily is something I'm playing for an episode of the podcast. And then I want to play one current game as well. And I'll save most of my thoughts on it for the inevitable episode about Resident Evil 3 that we've got coming up. But it's pretty good. You know, I played in the first Resident Evil game I ever played was 4. I loved it. I still do. That game is a fucking masterpiece. And I really liked 5. I know some people didn't, but I thought it was dope. I thought 6 sucked. And then I went back and started playing 1 to 3 for the podcast here. And I'm really enjoying all of them. Like, I'm a Resident Evil fan now. It feels good to say. Like, I feel like it's one of the biggest franchises that I just never played was Resident Evil. And now I can be like, no, I'm an RE guy. They're fun. I haven't played 7. It looks too scary. I have not played. I don't know if I'm going to. I struggle with scary games, and it looks fucking scary. So that's really all I've been playing for the last 7 days is Resident Evil 3 and The Witcher, and primarily just The Witcher, because I've been on the road. So that's what I've been playing last week. Let's talk about what I was playing last millennium. That's a good line. And that is Super Punch-Out for the Super Nintendo, episode 83 of the show here. This game is the cat's pajamas. I think that's the saying. I think it's better than the NES one, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, which we covered back in like episode 35, I think. And don't get me wrong, that game's phenomenal in its own right as well. But I feel like Super Punch-Out to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is Super Mario World to Mario 3. It's Link to the Past to the original Zelda, Super Metroid to Metroid. All those NES games are good, but the Super Nintendo just made them better. And that's how I feel about Super Punch-Out. I just think it's everything about it is improved. It's also beatable, which is a huge thing, right? I admit it during the show, but I can't beat Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And frankly, I think if you can, you're a freak. I mean, good for you. That's fucking insane. I can't beat it, but I can sure as fuck beat Super Punch-Out. I love this game, and so does my buddy Chris, and we're going to tell you why right after I cue some music. This game is on the Super Nintendo Classic. It's on Nintendo Online, on the Nintendo Switch. It is everywhere. It released originally in North America on September 14th, 1994. You should play it, and we are going to tell you why right now. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. Yeah, continuity error. Fucking Simpsons reference. Ah, fuck yeah, I love it when you're on the show. My pal Chris is back. You may remember him from such episodes as the historic episode number one and a whole bunch more since then. How you doing, pal?
It's good to be number one at something, finally.
Yes, sir. Have you listened to that first episode?
Yeah, I have a few times.
I fucking hate it now. I'm like, no offense to you. Like, we both did fine. It's just so
Simpsons season one, episode one, right? Our voices don't even sound right.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. As two Simpsons fans, that's exactly what it is. Maybe for episode 100, we'll re-record the Super Mario World episode and just give it the credit it fucking deserves. But anyway, we've recorded lots of games on here. We just recorded an episode that's going to be coming down the road. But now we're recording the one that's going, that I know is going live this Wednesday coming up. And that is the Super Punch-Out for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Initial thoughts of Super Punch-Out?
You caught me off guard here. Initial thoughts.
It's perfect.
Better and slightly not better than the first one?
All right, I'll give you that. I will say, like, did you grow up with this game or not? Because you weren't a Super Nintendo kid.
No, I wasn't. Like, I remember playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out a lot more than this one.
Okay. Now, I think that's most people. Like, I think an overwhelming majority of people know Mike Tyson's Punch-Out better than this one, which is funny to me because I never owned Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, but this is the one I did own.
Oh, wow.
And I know I'm in the minority here. This is a better game. This is a better game in every way except one from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And I'll get into what that one is in a minute. So you text me. The whole reason you and I are doing this is because you text me and were like, I finally beat Nick Bruiser.
Yeah.
So I assume you beat him on your Switch.
Yeah.
How'd that feel?
Save states, man.
Dude, I want to do a Let's Play of Super Punch-Out so bad because it's one of like... I don't say I'm good at a lot of video games, but this is one of the ones that I'm like, I'm good at this fucking game. Like, I could do it. I could do a fucking Let's Play of this game. Nick Bruiser is a fucking... He's a son of a bitch, though.
It doesn't seem like it should be so hard to knock him out, but it is.
Oh. Okay, so, like, now, personally... in the original Nintendo one, which, like, we've covered in the archives. You guys can go back and find it. But obviously, Mike Tyson is the fucking, like, the final boss, and he's, like, the hardest fucking guy in the history of the universe. Episode 35, we cover the original Punch-Out. In this one, it's Nick Bruiser. And his brother Rick is like the second boss. And it's almost like two final bosses.
It's 1A, 1B. Actually, pound for pound, I had more trouble with... It's Rick, right? You fight him first. Yeah. I've had more trouble with him.
Thank you. Yes, you're right. That's exactly... Like, if you can... Like, I'm telling you, if you guys have ever gotten to Rick Bruiser and gotten stuck and then given up or whatever, if you can beat Rick, you can beat Nick. I'm telling you right now, Rick is the tougher of the two.
Oh, Rick makes me swear, man. When he does that rumble and you're just sitting there shaking and you know what's coming because you can't move and then whack.
Yeah, so to dodge head, like he does this move where he jumps in the air and then he comes swinging down this big punch and you shake and then he follows it up like a big uppercut. You have to dodge left at like the last second so that you hang over long enough that when his second punch comes up. Otherwise, it hits you and then it basically knocks you out in one punch.
It's a massive middle finger because you know what's coming. You're like, no, 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 whack.
Yeah.
You're done.
Now, I'm embarrassed to say this. I never even got to Mike Tyson on the original Punch-Out.
Me either.
Okay, thank you. I guarantee you, there's people listening to this that are swearing at us right now and calling us losers and saying, get good, you noobs, or whatever it is you fucking kids say online. And there are people that are like, hey, you know what? It's like they're embarrassed to admit it, but they're like, I've also never gotten to Mike Tyson. Because it was fucking really hard.
Oh, yeah.
It was really hard. Whereas in this game, there's 16 bad guys. It's four circuits of four. And I really feel like it's not super challenging until Rick and Nick Bruiser. It's hard, but it's beatable.
I call it a con to this game that it isn't that hard.
It's not. No, it isn't. Like
in NES Puncho, like vodka or soda pop Yinsky there. I mean, that's where I got stuck.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure I could have went further if I kept playing, but it's just, I don't have time to...
Soda pop Yinsky can suck my ass. I fucking hate him so much. Whereas in this one... you're right. Like the minor circuit you can bomb through like with your eyes closed. It's a fucking piece of cake. And then the major circuit's really not too hard either. And then the world circuit, the first guy I get stuck on at all is Super Macho Man.
Yeah.
And he's the 12th boss in the 12th fight in the game. He's the champ of the, because in every circuit you go from like the third contender to the second contender, the first contender, and then you fight the champ. And Super Macho Man is the one that gave me fits as a kid. And even as an adult, I get this. Dude, I was playing it like a couple of weeks ago, getting ready for this podcast. And I get to that fight, and then the announcer guy is like, Super Macho Man. And I get that feeling like I have to poop because I get nervous because I'm like, you fucking ruined my childhood. Like the amount of times that motherfucker got me grounded as a kid because I would game rage fighting him. But you're right. It's not a very difficult game. It's no. And I think a big part of that is I think that the, because it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous fucking game. Like, obviously the graphics could be better than the NES because it's a more powerful console. But like it, like the jump from Mario Brothers to Super Mario World isn't as substantial as the jump from Punch-Out to Super Punch-Out.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Like the animations and all the enemy, like, and all your opponents are just...
phenomenal. They're so big and cel-shaded and animated, gorgeous. And I think a big thing that makes it easier is your opponents are so huge, the tells that they give before they throw their punches are much easier to read.
Yeah.
Because they're so big and easy to see. Like, so easy. And I really think that makes a big difference. So, because you're right, it's a really fucked up game because there's 11 really easy fights, and then Macho Man is a little tough, right? I mean, I'm not alone in saying that. He's a little tough. Then you go to the special circuit. And the first guy's Narcus Prince, the guy you can't punch
really
in the face.
Not that hard.
He's not that hard. But when you punch him in the face. Oh. That is the most saddest. we'll go through all the boxers in a minute because I want to give each of them their due because they're all great. But then you fight Han Corlo, I think his name is, the old guy. He's slightly tough, but he's okay.
Once you figure out his pattern, though, it's just a bunch of blocking and then knock him out.
Yeah, agreed. And then you get to the fucking Bruiser Brothers.
But maybe that's why they are hard, though, the Bruiser Brothers, is because they don't have tells.
That has to be it. That's it. They don't have fucking tells, and they are so hard. Fuck me. They're like Mike Tyson. Like, I've read that when you fight Mike Tyson in the original Punch-Out, your best bet is to actually look at the crowd.
There's a cameraman or something.
Yeah, and that's your tell, which is fucking insane. Whereas Rick and Nick, they just, it's like a quarter of a second.
Yeah.
The minute they stop moving around, you've got to dodge, and you have to dodge the right way.
Yeah, you got to figure out which pattern he's launching into.
That's it. And their punches take so much fucking health. whereas your punches barely sliver their fucking health.
And they're erratic too. Like, it's not like it's just gonna be three jabs. It's like jab, cross, body blow, jab, yeah. jab. Like,
it's muscle memory. You have to fight them over and over till you know that, like, okay, this combo, it's I've got to block low, dodge left, duck, block high. Like, it's if you fucking but it's so satisfying when you it. Because then you're open to start teeing off on them, right? Okay, so I love the graphics. I love the little cue cards before each guy, which I know they did in the original Punch-Out as well. But like each guy comes up with this big, beautiful screen that shows their record and their ranking and stuff like that. And if you've never read the instruction book, there's this cool thing because everyone's got their records with their wins and losses. Rick Bruiser is like 41-1. Nick is 42-0. And they explain in the instruction book that they fought each other.
Yeah.
And Nick won. And that's why that's the only loss that Rick has. I love that. Then you get into the fight. I love that the commentator or the announcer actually says all their names. Because at the time, that was really cool. Because not a lot of games. All we had was, it's the past from Blades of Steel. And then all of a sudden, they were actually announcing their names. And then you get into these big, fucking gorgeous sprites that come up and fight you. I think it looks phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Graphics-wise, it wins easily, hands down.
I find the controls incredibly satisfying, too. Like, I feel like every punch you land, it really feels like you fucking caught him with a punch.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I like the special punch in this game way better than the first game, too. That boom, boom, boom. Like, this one, you can aim it.
Me, too. Yeah, so in the original Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, you have, like, stamina. And you had to hit the guy at the right. You had to catch them in like a counter punch to get a star. And then if they hit you, you lost your star, which made it. That's another reason it's probably so much harder. Whereas in this one, you've got like a power meter at the bottom that fills up as you land punches and goes down as you get hit. And once it's filled up, you have infinite super punches until you get clocked. And like you said, you can aim them high, low, left, right, or you can double tap A. And just tee off punch, with the rapid punch, which I never really used, but I thought was really a cool thing, too. Landing those super punches. Dude, when you dodge an attack from someone, and then you go like 1, 2, 3 in the stomach, and then in the face, that feels so good. Like, I can feel it in the controller when I land those fucking punches. Ah, yes. So you're right. Yeah, I love that. The one criticism I've got is that it's only one round.
Yeah, it's...
Like, you have 3 minutes.
There's really not a whole lot of longevity to the game, though.
No, there's not.
Once you've mastered all the fighters, it's going to be...
Yeah, if you're good,
a half hour, really.
Yeah, you can, like... So, each guy shows, like, the 10 best times that you've beaten them in. And I had a file when I was a kid on my hard copy where I had beat all 16 guys under a minute. And so, like, if that's the case, you could beat this whole game in 20 minutes if you wanted to. And you're right. It's very frustrating in a way that there's just not a lot of... If you, as a kid, if you'd spent $80 on that, you'd be like, well, that's it?
You maybe play it once a year, but like you say, that's an expensive...
Fucking right, it is. Yeah. It's like, it's my comfort food now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's quick. But that's my big problem with it is like, maybe it would be cool if there was like a hard mode.
Yeah, like it'd be cool to see some of the fighters mix it. Because that was kind of the cool thing about the NES punch is that... Sure, you knock out Don Flamenco, but he comes back as a competent fighter. Same with Piston Honda and all those guys. So.
Yeah, it would have been cool if, like, once you beat the 16 modes, maybe, or the 16 fighters, maybe there's, like, another 16 where they're harder or something like that. Because they're easy, and they're really quick. It's one round. That was the thing in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I think it was 3 rounds.
Yeah.
And at the end of 3 rounds, they'd score it.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, you have 3 minutes. And if you don't beat them in 3 minutes, there's not even a game decision. You just fucking lose. And that, it's biggest black eye by far.
I don't think I've ever went to a decision in Super Punch-Out, though. Or either knocked him out or got knocked out.
Yeah, same thing. I never made it to a decision.
Time up, game over,
And I wish it was easier to knock guys out. Yeah. Like, because there's not too many that you can put down for 10. No. There's a couple. And I really wish that you could put them all down for 10. Like, it'd be so cool if there's a right way.
I think after the first two circuits, I don't think there's anyone you can do in a...
No, I think you're right. And that sucks. Like, there should be a way that you could fucking knock them all out in 10 minutes. That'd be so much better. Oh, yeah. Then the other problem is it's not Little Mac.
Is it?
Well, if it is, it's not. Like,
it's like a reanimated, because it's not him. Or not the ones they have in, like, Smash now or anything. So.
Yeah, and I hate that. Like, why doesn't he look like... Yeah, he should look like fucking... I don't know. He should look like fucking...
He just looks like Mac now.
Yeah, he's just a generic Mac. But I will say they do a great job, even with him, the graphics, like the way he's see-through like that.
Yeah.
I read that was the original plan with Punch-Out. They wanted him to be like a see-through guy.
That's what it was in the arcades, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. But on the NES, they just couldn't make it work. Whereas in this one, he's not only see-through like a grid like he was in the arcade games, but like it's you can see like the back the muscles. Yeah, and like it's not distracting at all. It fucking is really cool. I also like the varied attacks that some of the bad guys have, because in the instruction book it says that there's no rules.
That's I'm a purist. I want to see them box. I don't want to see Mad Clown throw his rubber balls at me.
Ah, I love it. Like, well, okay, the clown, that's the weakest one, but I like that, like, the old man has his cane, and the kickboxer can jump from rope to rope and kick you in the face, and the masked muscle would spit in your eye, and then you couldn't I fucking loved that, because he's a Lucha Libre wrestler, and I love heel wrestlers, and this dude could spit in your eye, and then you couldn't see, and then he would be able to tee off on you for a minute. That's really ingenious, I thought.
I don't know. I like them when they're boxers.
Yeah.
This one got a little too gimmicky.
It's very gimmicky. But even with some of the boxers, I love how they have the corner man yelling stuff.
Yeah.
And you can read that and catch like he'd yell at like fucking Piston Hurricane, hit him with the rush.
Yeah.
And then you knew his rush was coming and you could catch him in the gut and knock him out. Or Super Macho Man.
Well, which exercise program?
ABC. Yeah. And to this day, I know that like A is duck high, A is duck, B is block low, C is the uppercuts.
Yeah.
Like, but you gotta know. And then when you see him yelling it, you're like, you got 3 seconds or so to fucking get ready.
Doesn't matter because he's just gonna windmill you anyway.
Oh, that fucking, it makes this like, and then he like swings around. Yeah. And dude, he like, sometimes he does like once, sometimes he does it like 10 times.
Oh yeah, you're just like 8, 9, I'm good, wow.
And you just duck, dead, yeah. duck. And if you duck too soon or too late, oh, fuck right off. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses in offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Okay, so just quickly to run through the characters. There's Gabby J, who is a hero. I don't think they ever explained if he's related to Glass Joe or not.
I've never heard anything like that.
But I love Gabby J and the way he goes, yay. And then he comes up and he's just like this little old man. So there's Gabby J, and then it goes to Bear Hugger.
Bear Hugger was funny.
I love him. And he's the Canadian, and he's like the spoof of King Hippo, right? He's the same thing. The big fat guy. You can't punch him in the stomach.
Yeah, but then in the stomach, he sticks his tongue out at you and makes
But you can catch him in the stomach.
Yeah, I've seen playthroughs. That's how people speed through him. Yeah.
It's when he does the, like, he does this thing where he, like, tries to tap you on the shoulder with his glove. And he does, like, he goes, like, where? And when he does that, if you punch him in the stomach, then he gets, like, stunned. And then you can fucking tee off on him. And it's so fucking satisfying.
He makes the best noises, too. He just, when you do that rapid punch, oh.
Yeah. And I love that he's the Canadian in the game. Yeah. I was like, that's our representative, is this huge, fat, bald hillbilly from fucking Saskatoon.
Yeah, he's like, he's from Salmon Arm, BC or something like that, I think.
Yeah, he is. Something weird, yeah. No way that guy's from fucking BC. That's a Manitoba boy that's fucking racist, right there. It's racist, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Not that it's Mike Tyson's Punch-Out's fault because it was different, but, like, I don't find the characters nearly as stereotype in this one. There's a few, but it's not as bad as it was in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
No, that's true.
But, like, there's a... Okay, so then there's Piston Hurricane. He's just like the...
Honestly, I thought he was easier than Gabby J.
He is. He's so easy. And if you know to catch him in the stomach when he goes for his rush, it's over in like 10 seconds. And then there's Bald Bull. Or no, is it Bald Bull?
Yeah, he's your...
Yeah, he's the first boss. He's a fucking staple of the franchise, right? Like, he's... You know the bull rush is coming. That bull rush can be hard to catch him on.
Because he'll do a short one every now and then, or he's...
Yep, he'll fake you out. But like, but when you catch him, same thing. I'm telling you, there's something about the way the punches land in this game.
If you can catch him with a super punch?
Whoa, that's the best feeling in the world. And then you get this like 10 seconds of watching him go down, and you just, you just feel like a fucking boss. So that's the minor circuit. They're all pretty easy. You can go 4-0 in that pretty quick. And like, and do you have to go 4-0 to go to the next circuit, or do you have to go 4-0 to unlock special circuit?
I think...
I can't remember.
I can't remember. I know to continue, if you get knocked out, you have so many rests, I know you can keep going.
But yeah.
I don't know about it, circuit-wise.
Yeah, so I know to get to special circuit, you've got to go 4-0 in the other
that
three.
That makes sense.
Okay, so then you get to the super... Was that what it was? What were the fucking circuits? Oh, the minor circuit, the major circuit. You get to the major circuit, and the first guy in the major circuit was...
Bob Charlie.
Oh, yeah, Bob Charlie.
This is the one Nintendo owes an apology to the people of Jamaica.
Yeah, Bob Charlie is like, imagine the fucking, what was the name of the fucking goofy guy in Cool Runnings?
Oh, Sanka.
Sanka. If Sanka was a boxer, that's Bob Charlie. And it is so over the top, fucking, the way he dances, like, time to dance, man, or whatever the fuck it is. But he's easy to beat, too. Because
his coach yells at him to shuck and jive.
Shuck and jive.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, you're right. That one, I forgot about old Bob Charlie. That one is a little bit, I don't know if we can do that.
Even if you knock him out and then he gets up and does the count, like, he'll even his spin move where he falls back down is like,
oh yeah, that fucking that spin move is so stupid. Where he backs up into the corner and does this like huge hurricane punch, and it's so easy to dodge. Like, oh man!
But then even if you knock him down and they're doing the count, sometimes he gets up and does this like little spin and makes his noise and falls back down.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Ah, dude. Yeah. Fuck yeah! I forgot all about fucking Bob Charlie. He was one of my favorites when I was a kid because I had no idea that this was a little bit of a stereotype, and then I was like, oh yeah, this is fucking, yeah, this is a stereotype. And then so to follow up on Bob Charlie, next is Dragon Chan, who is clearly like a Bruce Lee spoof, but I like Dragon Chan because he throws his kicks, and those kicks, to me, he's the first one that presents any minimal challenge.
Oh yeah, like if you, the first playthrough, actually that'd be the best way to play this game, is your first playthrough. Well, I guess just like the other ones.
Oh, but dude, yeah. To not know what's coming would make it so much more fun. But Dragon Chan's like a kickboxer. He can jump from rope to rope and kick at you and stuff. It's pretty cool. Then there's Mass Muscle, who's my favorite, the Lucha Libre wrestler, who's just dirty as fuck. His corner man yells, spit in his eye, like just blatantly. And he does. And if he spits in your eye, then you can't see. He goes all blurry.
You can punch, can you?
I don't think you can,
just
no.
Have to dodge till it wears
and
off.
You just have to dodge till it wears off. Yeah.
Well,
and
the funniest thing with him is that if he knocks you out and you fight him again, he said, and his story box says, me cheating? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's fucking gorgeous. Just a classic bad guy wrestler. And then the champ of the major circuits, Mr. Sandman, who is from other Punch-Outs, big, angry, vicious-looking black man.
And honestly, he's my favorite opponent in any Punch-Out game.
Mr. Sandman?
He's fun to fight, and when you knock him out, it just feels good, because it looks like he's the guy who would steal your parking spot.
He looks credible.
Your own house.
Yeah, he looks like a fucking badass, yeah. Is Mr. Dream replaced Mike Tyson once it's sold? I don't think that's the same as Mr. Sandman.
I don't think so.
But yeah, he looks, to me, he's the most intimidating looking of those first eight. He's just fucking huge.
Looks pissed off.
And looks mad, and but he's not really that hard, though.
Not really. He's a straight up boxer, right?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
With not really much to tell on him, so.
Yeah. So then you get to the world circuit, and the first one is Aaron Ryan, who's like a good old, he's like Sheamus.
Yeah.
Good old boy from Ireland who just likes to fight. He's not really that hard to beat.
No, if you can time your super punch, it takes a ton of his energy.
Yeah.
And then when he grabs you, just hit him again.
But he's the first one that, he does that fucking grab. You super punch him, and he like bends over like he's having like an asthma attack. And then as long as you can catch him before he grabs you, you're fine. Because if he grabs you, he like clinches you, but he gets a bunch of his health back.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. And then there's Heikki Kagero, who, like, as a child, I was like, is this a woman?
Yeah.
But like, he has a man's body, but his face looks like a woman's. And I'm not sure what they were trying to do with this.
I think he was a Japanese actor, like a play actor or something like that.
Maybe,
Something? Yeah, I don't know.
But Heikki,
his mannerisms were always kind of, I can't remember what his opening block was like, but it was,
yeah, it was a little bit off.
Yeah,
little,
like just yeah. awkward, I guess, maybe, I don't know.
But Heikki has, he attacks with his hair, which is easy to dodge. Dodge left, duck down. But then he also does that thing where he like goes like invisible, like a fucking ghost, where he's like warping
like
around.
From the first game.
Yeah, yeah. And that one, like, you just keep punching and sometimes you can catch him. But if you don't catch him, that one can be a bitch to dodge. Not enough to beat you, but... then there's Mad Clown, your favorite.
I hate Mad Clown. Fuck Mad Clown.
He's so easy. He's just like a blatant ripoff of Bear Hugger, except he's a fat clown and he throws balls at you.
It was just such a yeah, he throws balls. He's not even a boxer.
No,
he
sucks. He's easy to beat. He sucks. Then there's my fucking arch nemesis, Super Macho Man, who's probably the biggest guy in the game. Like, he's jacked, and he looks great. He's a great villain. Beating him is so fucking satisfying, but to me, he's the first one where there's like, you may not beat him. Like, he may knock you out. Like,
I love his animations, too. Like, he knocks you down, and he just starts model posing for you. And
he fucking does, the, like, one knee, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he boxes in, like, a Speedo, like, fucking Super Macho Man. And did you notice when you punch him, his eyes go out, like, his eyes are red?
All
like,
bloodshot,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, I love that touch. And then you get the special circuit that you unlock, and the first one's Narcus Prince, who's this, like, little preppy, and you can't punch him in the face. There's only one punch he does where you can punch him in the stomach and then catch him in the face. But then once you catch him in the face, he backs off and he backs away. He's
just goes full tilt on you too.
And then just snaps. And then he's so much easier to fight. He's easy to dodge. And then you can punch him in the face as much as you want. And like anyone that's ever fought Narcus Prince, you go for the knockout by hitting him in the face. Like, you have to. It feels so good.
This
right?
knockout sound when you hit him to knock him out is so funny. It's,
yeah, that's right. Oh. Then he falls down. And he just looks like the spoiled rich kid.
And when he gets up, he shakes off his anger and he goes back to being chill and
yeah,
do it again.
Going but... cool again, yeah. Then you fight Horcrux.
Actually, no, he's Orange Cassidy.
Totally. Fuck yes. Totally Orange Cassidy. like if Orange Cassidy and Martin Prince from The Simpsons had a kid, that's him. Then there's Hoi Quarlo, who's the old man who I love that fight. He's got the cane, and that cane can be a fucking bitch to dodge, man.
That's fast.
It fucking right it is, and he does like this one thing where he goes like it's like,
yeah,
and then
knock him out a couple times, right?
Yeah, and then he throws it like high, low, low, high, and you got to read it and dodge and. He's beatable, but I really enjoyed the fight with him.
It was hard when they first fought him too, because if you hit him, he'd go to the right side of the screen. You'd have to hit him with the right punch.
That's right.
Keep your combo going.
That's right.
Start over again.
Oh man, and he has like cool dodges where he like does the splits and he like wrestles. He boxes you like in a kimono and you swing at him and he just does like a sideways split and then comes back up. I was like, dude, he's fucking. What's the name of the? I never watched the Karate Kid movies. Everyone yells at me when I say that. But he reminds me of the old guy.
It's Miyagi?
Yeah, yeah. That's what he reminds me of from the Karate Kid movies. And then there's Rick Bruiser and Nick Bruiser. And those two, they're just these two huge bald guys that look the same. And their punches, half of them fucking, dude, Nick has this fucking attack where it's impossible to dodge it. You have to block it. And while you're blocking it, it still hurts you.
Yeah, it's high, low, right?
Yeah. But like if you're down to like a third of your health or left when he makes the like pow, 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 noise,
yeah.
You're going down because unless there's a way I don't know of.
I started throwing punches and I caught him once.
Maybe that's what
that's
you have to fucking do.
Because I interrupted that rhythm there.
Ugh. That's so frustrating. Oh, dude. And Nick has this great thing where if you catch him with a quick punch, like that would get you a star in Mike Tyson's punch out. He does this like oversell. Where he like leans back and then he just comes flying back with a haymaker and you need to know it's coming and duck because it takes away like a quarter of your health every time he hits you.
Both of those assholes could disable your punches.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They like hit your hand and then your one hand doesn't work. So then even if you dodge one of their attacks and you catch them once, then they shift to the other side and then you can't counterpunch because your arm is stuck.
And I think it's Nick does both. I think Rick was only one or the other. But you could go for like 30 seconds without punching anything because... Your hands are toast. So.
They're both very satisfying to beat, but they both take some practice. Like they're fucking, your attacks barely do any damage, and their attacks fuck you up, man.
Yeah. Just their combos, like that whole like jab, low, uppercut.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you know how to dodge in that order, like they're gonna tag you at least once.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like they're like Tyson, like two mistakes and you're fucked. Like you're going down. You know. I wish there was a way to knock them out. Like, ah, it'd be so sweet to knock them out. Like, it'd be cool if you could knock them down, finish it with a super punch, knock them down, and not take any damage or something. Like, if that was a way to knock them out. And then that's it. You beat all 16, you get all your championship belts, and then you can just go through again. But what's cool in this one is you can load your save file and you can see your record in the corner, and your win-loss record, and you can see your best time against all 16 and your best score through each circuit. And that's where the replayability comes in, is it's a very time attack speed run. There's even a time attack mode.
Oh, really?
Once you beat them, you can go into time attack mode and just go pick a certain boxer and then just practice against them.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that's where the replayability is. Because like as a kid, I'll tell you guys right now, I don't know if this is a very well-known fact or not, but your file will max out at 255-0. Because I was 255-0. Okay. I had them all beaten under a minute, and my brother would like show that file off to people and be like, "Look at what Adam did!" Like, I was so proud of that fucking save file. But there's really, yeah, it's too bad there's not like a hard mode or something.
But it was cool, like, because it's the first time I ever played it was on my cousin's Super Nintendo, like, and it was 7 files filled, so I took the 8th one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of cool to try to beat buddies of his scores.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Stuff like that.
Because those times saves overlap between each save. Like, it's not saved to each individual file. It's on the game.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So
you're
like
right.
300 players later, you're still going to have the top 10 times.
Absolutely.
Or so that was pretty cool.
Dude, like, imagine, like, this game's on the Super Nintendo Online. It's really too bad that they don't make those online servers, like, for the times.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just a classic example of Nintendo half-assing online. Like, you could have just made these time modes go online where you could compete against the world and stuff like that. But, of course not. Fucking Nintendo. Game is fucking gorgeous. I think the controls are magnificent. Everything about the controls feels
it's
good.
It's smooth and crisp.
So smooth. The punches land perfect. If you get beat, I get frustrated at times, but I never feel like it's cheap.
Yeah, when it's not an unfair. I mean, if you learn the patterns, you get good.
Yeah. And that's the addictive nature of the Punch-Out games, is they're basically boxing puzzle games.
More
like
less.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all about like trial and error and figure out what attacks are coming and then figure out how to dodge them. And I adore these games. I desperately want this series to fucking come back, please.
Did you ever play the one on the Wii?
Very little.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't dislike it. I just never really got around to playing
it.
Having said that though, like I would love it, dude, like I answered it on the Patreon when somebody asked me what game I want DLC for, what retro game, and I said Super Punch-Out. Like, give me more circuits. I would love that.
I would have loved to have the original Punch-Outs in this one, too. Like, I would love to have seen a King Hippo on a skin.
Right? Fuck yeah.
Or
like
Von Kaiser and all those guys. Like,
not Soda. he can go to hell.
I'm forgiving him.
But yeah, why not? Like, dude, like, why doesn't... I wish Nintendo would give the license to this to somebody else and just tell them, just take all the boxers from fucking Punch-Out, all the ones from Super Punch-Out, give them another retro-looking, like, just clean up the graphics from Super Punch-Out and just give us that game again.
There is a lot there. Like, I mean, you can make it into an RPG. Like,
yeah.
Do some training with Little Mac to buff them off.
Fucking rights, man. Because that's the one thing, too, is there's really no depth. There's no way to level anything up, anything like, it's just practice.
Yeah.
That's all there is. But in that same sense, it's an honest game. It's just if you're good, you'll win, and if you're not, you'll lose.
That's fine. It's fun the whole way through.
Fucking right it is. It's replayable. It's fun. It's gorgeous. And I don't give a fuck what anybody says. It's better than Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. It fucking is. If you don't like it, stop. Well, don't stop listening to the show. Never mind. It's just, it's not. It's not better. Agreed?
No.
All right. you good? You good? You got anything else you want to fucking rant about?
That's pretty much it. It was fun.
It is fun. You got a favorite? Is your favorite bear hugger?
Nah, Super Macho Man was my, or not Super Macho Man, Mr.
Sandman. Oh yeah, you said that, Mr. Sandman, yeah. It's gotta be Mass Muscle, all the way. And my least favorite?
Pick the Clown.
I mean, I know the most frustrating to me is Super Macho Man. Yeah, it probably is the Clown, eh? He's just too gimmicky.
Know. Yeah, like, it wasn't even a boxing match at that point.
Right?
Just a clown being a clown.
And with Bear Hugger in it, why do you need, like, why wasn't that King Hippo?
Yeah.
Why the fuck, instead of a stupid fat clown that throws balls at you and looks like John Wayne Gacy, why the fuck is, that's what he looks like, why the fuck isn't it King Hippo? That would have been so much better. Imagine if that had been, like, fuck, that would have been so sick.
They put other kick, like, Ball Bulls in the game, so is Sandman, so is Macho
Yeah,
Man.
Super
it's not
Macho
like they didn't go back to the well.
No, so. Not at all. So where the fuck is King Hippo? That would have been so much better than Gacy. I'm going to call him Wayne Gacy for the rest of my life now. Okay, so there's 16 boxers. So from 1 to 16, what would you score Super Punch-Out?
I'll go 13.
13? I'm going to go... this is nostalgia. It's pulling at my heartstrings. I'm going to go 15. And I would give it 16 if it wasn't for the Super Mario World asterisk where nobody else could be perfect. This game along with Super Mario World is my absolute comfort food.
No one will hate this game.
Unless you suck at it. And if that's the case, you can just practice and get better. Or you, dude, just literally beating on Gabby J is the most fucking satisfying thing.
You'll never not beat at least someone.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. The time would probably run out before Gabby J beat you. Like if you put the controller down and walked away,
he just doesn't get a win. It's just always a
He's got one, I think.
I think he's won in 99 or something.
Yeah, I want to know who he beat. Oh fuck!
I think there is a backstory for him and Glass Joe on who they beat.
Oh,
I can't
man.
Remember who each one beat.
Okay, sorry guys. I know you're probably like, all right, Adam, that's enough. But now I'm looking up who did Gabby J beat, and then we'll shut this thing down. Who do you like better, Glass Joe or Gabby J?
Actually, I like Gabby J better.
I think I do too. I know that Glass Joe is Glass Joe. Yeah. Like I know how I have a T-shirt with Glass Joe on it. Like I know he's
Glass
iconic.
Joe looks like he could get a lucky punch in and win a fight, though. Gabby J just looks like he hurt himself.
Yeah, he's just like a fucking old man. Look, oh, he's fucking gross. He shouts, "Oh yeah!" He shouts, "Come on."
Come
he
on.
Does that. Come on. Come on. And then he loses.
Well, he comes in and just does like a weak swing punch. And
doesn't say who he beat. Oh, fuck. I want to know who he beat. Oh, his only win was against Glass Joe.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Oh, man. So that fucking poor Glass Joe even lost to old man Gabby. He's 56, and I love how they made him from Paris.
Like, well, they both are from France,
oh,
too.
Fuck. Like, they just
horrible.
Lead into the cliches. That-a-way, Nintendo. I want you guys to know, this is why we don't have Mother 3, because fucking people lean into these things, and then find out they haven't aged well. But we'll do that on another episode. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Good episode. And go play Super Punch-Out, you guys. That's going to do it for episode 83 of Remember the Game. Chris, thank you so much for coming over and talking a little bit of Super Punch-Out with me. And to all of you people, thank you so much for listening to the show and indulging my overzealous geekdom, whatever that I have. I got mixed up with the big words that I wanted to say there. Thank you for listening to my incoherent podcast. That is what I'm trying to say. I love retro games, and I like talking about them, and I like that you guys like listening to me talk about them. That's fucking cool. I will be back next week with episode 84. Thanks again to all the Patreons. Again, patreon.com/rememberthegame, $2 a month. You can get a whole bunch of stuff. Prize draw will be going live, if not this afternoon, then Thursday morning. So congratulations to whoever ends up winning that. And I'll talk to you guys again in a week. Go play some video games, and I'll see you later. Cheers.